And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, guys.
And welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I am Nick Angstead, your host. Joined as always, my co-host, Taman Turner. Taman, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on? How's life?
Life is great. We are in an era where it is post-trade deadline right now. We are sitting at we're recording this about 4 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. If you're an MFFL that is just stoked out of their mind that they got Nerlens Noel and don't know what to do at all, you need to check out Audible.com. Get a book. You know, calm down a little bit. Maybe you need to come off that high a little bit. Maybe you need some, you know, to know what to do between now and Saturday when you're able to go see Nerlens Noel play potentially against the Pelicans. So if you need to do that, take a break, get a free audiobook download and a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/almighty. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from for iPhone, Android, Kindle, and most other listening devices. You can get the Furious George book by George Carl, the one that everyone was freaking out about. You can get some Cowboys books. There's even a book, the inspirational story of basketball superstar Dirk Nowitzki. So the whole story of Dirk Nowitzki, his challenges growing up, all that stuff you can get. And to download one of those books or any of the other thousands of options for free today, go to audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, that's audibletrial.com/almighty for your free audiobook. And now, the trade deadline.
Big day.
Bigly. Huge day. Massive day. Let's go through the timeline a little bit. Last night we talked with Mike Fisher. Great interview. Awesome stuff. We learned some stuff. We learned that Giannis Antetokounmpo and Donnie Nelson live together.
The Greek freak.
We learned that. We also learned that the Mavericks were, you know, shopping Deron Williams and that him and Andrew Bogut stayed out of practice. We learned some of that stuff last night. And so today we woke up. Nothing had really happened overnight. I think Fish stayed up all night. I was seeing Fish tweets late into the night. And I think he stayed up all night waiting for something to happen. And nothing really happened until maybe about – what time did that happen today? Like 6 hours ago. So like 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. today.
Yeah, it was in the morning side, and it definitely was a bombshell. I think people expected the Mavs to make a move, but I didn't think we were going to get Nerlens Noel, which was really shocking.
So 5 hours ago from now, so that would have been, what, 11 o'clock? 11 o'clock I tweeted that Woj tweeted that
they were in serious discussions.
Advanced discussions. Serious or advanced discussions to get Nerlens Noel, and then almost immediately after that, like, I couldn't finish the tweet in time to send the next one where it said that the Mavs had gotten Nerlens Noel, but they did, and they got Nerlens Noel. And then all throughout the day, it was so funny how the timeline worked out, because at first we heard it was Bogut, Anderson, and a first, and then we were like, okay, well, did we just straight up give Philadelphia our first round pick? Like, what? Like,
that scared that every MFFL.
Everybody was freaking out about it. We just didn't know what it was. Then it came out that it was a conditional first-round pick, and that's different than a protected pick, because a conditional pick has certain, obviously, conditions on it.
Right, and from what I retweeted this earlier from Mark Stein, it is Dallas's pick is protected 1-18 in the June draft, so that is huge right there.
Right, so then the protection came out where I was like, okay, then it's protected 1-18, and the Mavericks, there's no possible way the Mavericks are getting it lower than 18.
No, not at all.
They would have to be in the top 12 teams in the NBA.
Unless Nerlens Noel just makes them straight up baller, straight up B status, where they go off.
They would have to go like They'd have to go 19-7 to go 500.
Right. Not to mention that another team would have to become really bad in the second half.
They would have to beat some of those teams that are in the top 12 to get into that top 12. And so you'd have to beat some of those teams. You'd have to go like 20-7, 19-6 or something, 19-7 or however, to be able to at least put yourself in contention for that spot. So that, there's no way that pick's going. And then it came out later that the Mavericks had there was a situation in probably about an hour or so where we were sitting trying to figure out if the protection, if it conveyed to the next year. Like if the Mavericks were the 15th pick, let's say they're just on the verge of the lottery. If they were there, would it become a Lakers situation where later they would, if they didn't convey the pick to Philadelphia, then the next year it would become an unprotected first round pick? Because that's kind of where the Lakers were. They had, they were supposed to give them the pick that became D'Angelo Russell. Then it didn't. Then it became Brandon Ingram. Then it became, you know, this pick that they have now that's top three protected. And so we're like, we don't want to be in that situation that the Lakers are in. Then it came out that if it doesn't get conveyed this year, it becomes 2 second round picks. So it comes up second round pick this year and a second round pick next year, which is interesting because the 2018 second round pick is supposed to go to Milwaukee. I think that's protected between 31, obviously, and 50 something or 40 something. So I guess, I mean, obviously that pick is gone now. You know, there's no way that they're going to keep that pick. So, yeah, I don't think there's a way that they're going to be able to keep that pick at all. But I mean, obviously, what we gave away, I mean, Bogut. First, okay, I want to address this.
Talk to me.
I want to address this. Somebody tweeted at me that the Andrew Bogut experience in Dallas was a complete failure.
Oh, did he have a reason for saying that?
He just said it was a complete failure. I think that's bogus. That's totally bogus.
I'll put it like this. I don't agree with it, but I agree with it. It didn't go how they wanted it to. When they signed Bogut, they wanted to have a center who could be a defensive forcer down low that could be compatible with Dirk. In that sense, it didn't work out.
he was not compatible by way of like foot speed. They
not
were compatible in the sense that they were congruent in that way, but not that they worked together really well.
Right. On the court, they didn't play together well at all. And in that sense, Bogut didn't work out. But to say it was a complete fail, I don't think there was total high expectations when Bogut got here. I mean, you can make the argument.
Yeah, but I think what happened was the Mavericks put him on all those posters. You know, they had that starting five poster that they do that every year. But to decide which players go on there, I think really matters to fans, especially fans that mention us on Twitter, you know, that are just like getting in there,
right?
And don't necessarily follow every single minute of the game like we do. And so putting him on that, I think, gave him some expectations. And coming from the 73-win, Warriors team, I think that—
Poor guy.
Yeah, he just had unrealistic expectations for himself.
Let me explain to you why I love this trade. I love it.
Yeah,
not just from—
That's what we're doing today.
Not just from a basketball standpoint, but I love this trade because the Mavericks are showing that they're an aggressive team. You know, all year we've been talking about team tank versus team playoff.
All year.
Yeah, literally, every single episode. But this shows that even in a down year for the Mavs, which even if they make the playoffs, I think it's fair to say this is a down year for them.
Oh, of course. One of the downest.
Right. So with the Mavericks having a down year, but they're still being an aggressive team. They're showing a team that wants to win. They're still making these blockbuster trades. They want to win, but they're rebuilding while trying to win, while trying to tank all at the same time. And they're accomplishing that because this trade for me, I look at it like this. The Mavericks are trying to get young. They're trying to be athletic. Right. They're getting young. They're staying athletic, and they're trying to look for guys to have a team that can compete once Dirk Nowitzki is gone. So the fact that they're doing that, I love that they're aggressive, and I love that they're being smart about it. They're not just giving away nothing or something for nothing. They're getting something, and you can make the argument. I'm not going to say they gave away nothing because I think I like Justin Anderson. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And Andrew Bogut, it was all about salary and whatnot.
Do you think that Dorian Finney-Smith made Justin Anderson expendable?
Because
I think he did.
Yeah,
I think also seeing that
yes
you could
and
get
no.
I think that seeing you could get a Dorian Finney-Smith made Justin Anderson seem more expendable.
Well, I you can make that argument. I don't disagree with it. It did. At the same time, I'm a little disappointed in Justin Anderson. Because when he got here, I was very. I love the pick. I love the pick.
Yeah, we all did.
It was a steal of a first round.
And in the second half of last year, you saw him coming on, and you saw him.
Right.
You saw him in the playoffs, even like make a push, and people were really excited. And when the Mavericks weren't going to get anybody in free agency, Justin Anderson was looking to be your starting, you know, three.
Right. And when you say to make the Dorian Finney-Smith make him expendable, yes, he did. But I think part of it is that Justin Anderson didn't progress to where they wanted him to be at this point of his career.
He was still making too many mistakes.
Right.
I mean, he was still so inconsistent, and Carlisle's not going to play that. I mean, I think I've been saying that on this podcast all year. The reason why Justin Anderson isn't getting minutes is because he became, you know, too much of a liability, which on this team, if you have so many points of failure, you need to limit them, you know? And then we started the organic tanking thing like Mike Fisher talked
organic
about last night.
Tanking.
And if you didn't listen to the podcast last night with Mike Fisher and Ryan Wilson, also Ryan Wilson on that podcast, founder of Mavs Fanatic, talked about how we started Mavs Fanatic and everything, gave some pretty good stories on it. So go check out that podcast.
You better do it now.
It was really good. And so, but Mike Fisher talked about organic tanking, which is what Mark Cuban admitted to doing. The other Damon is dying right now.
I've been coughing a lot all week, so excuse me if I'm a little quieter than normal.
Also, if you can hear a difference in sound quality, it's probably better, but if you can hear a difference in sound quality, we're at a different studio today.
Yeah, we're not in our normal studio.
Not in the norm studio, but it's a good one. It's bigger.
It is. I like
way more windows. I'll point that out.
That is true. We're live in Irving, Texas, by the way, folks.
Instead of Grand Prairie. So.
Yes.
Yeah, but the organic tanking is what Mark Cuban admitted to doing on Ben and Skin a week ago or so that we talked about on the podcast.
Ben and Skin, 105.3 The Fan, shout out.
Always shout out to them.
Got to do it.
Which, I turn on 105.3 The Fan and it's either like 10% sports talk and like 80%.
I saw your tweet that this morning, which I thoroughly had a good laugh.
It's like
because
sometimes I listen to it and it's really good and I love it. And they have good guests on, but then sometimes I turn it on and it's like
random.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what my favorite thing is on 105.3 The Fan?
What?
On Friday
Their
mornings.
Weird skits?
On Friday mornings on Sean and RJ, when they do Better Call Chop. And RJ Choppy gives you the best advice. He's the best defense attorney in DFW. So he gets you out of jam. So, like, basically, he'll basically say this. So somebody will call and be like, yeah, my wife made me go to a baby shower and I can't watch the Mavericks game this weekend. How do I get out of it? And it'll make you think, and he'll come up with, like, bizarre scenarios on how to get you out of it.
Cool.
I love it. I love it. I think it's great.
Cool, that's fine. But when I turn to sports radio, I want sports radio.
I agree. I mean, it's a reason why it's a sports cast. But by the way, I'm just throwing this out there. If we ever have a taming segment on here, I'm calling it tea time.
We will never.
Pinkies up.
For anybody.
Pinkies
put
up.
Your pinky finger to the.
Tea time.
Moon.
Yes.
We will never have tea time on this podcast.
That's depressing.
We can have beef of the week all we want, but we're not going to have tea time.
Womp, womp. See, guys, and Nick calls me the depressing one.
I just seem like all business right now. I'm really not.
Yeah, he's pulling a Tame and I'm pulling a Nick. Good Lord.
Well, that's
what does
we're
this come to?
We're in a different studio. Now you're behind the board and I'm not.
Right?
So it's
different turf. We switch roles here. Not only did we switch hosts.
I think we should tank.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs.
Oh, man. We're going to get a good look. Tonight, obviously, or not obviously, but tonight is the first time we're going to be able to see the Boogiesie and the Brow.
Yes, but there's one more thing I want to talk about before we talk about the Boogiesie and the Brow.
I'm just saying we're going to see them tonight for the first time and then again on Saturday.
I know. And we're going to see them on Saturday at the AAC. Right, yeah. There's one more thing I want to talk about.
Get your thing.
Darren Williams is no longer a Maverick.
He's not.
And the Mavericks got nothing for him. Why am I talking with such a deep voice?
Because it's a serious topic.
It's a very serious topic. And I hope you love my deep voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Darren's gone.
And there was reports all over the place saying that, you know, Darren wanted to stay and that the Mavericks wanted, you know, to ship him off somewhere. Darren didn't want to go. And they just came up with nothing. Which, if that would have happened with both cases, in the case of Williams and Bogut, that would have been bad. I mean, this was a super important trade deadline for this front office. The level of trust and the level of, like, the approval rating. We hear about Donald Trump's approval rating all the time, how it's, like, lowering and blah, blah, blah. But the approval rating of the front office,
the
approval rating of this front office was really low. I mean, how many times did we tweet something from Mass Fanatic or from our own accounts and hear, like, no, this front office is blah, blah, blah. Like, this front office is terrible, and I don't trust the front office. And
I've been very critical of this front office since they won the championship.
And you have good reason to be. I wrote a whole article about the trade deadline saying the Mavericks probably shouldn't make a trade, because if you look at their past history from now to 2011, they hadn't done any really good trades.
Here's the thing about the Mavericks, and this has kind of been status quo since, I don't know, since they won the championship. Just when you think that there's nothing they can do, they pull something out of their butt and they do something. And whether it be good or bad, but they do something.
I'm really glad that Nerlens was the thing they pulled out of their butt, because that could have been a whole other situation.
I mean, if you take a look at it, I mean, think about it. When they decided, and this ended up not being good, and I said it, they always pull off something, whether it be good or bad. But when, take for example, starting since they won the championship, when they made it clear that they weren't re-signing Tyson, what did they do? They made a last-minute effort to get Lamar Odom, which at the time looked like it was
it
a good deal.
It looked really good.
Right. Look at the Rajon Rondo trade that they pulled off. Look at this year. They went for Hassan Whiteside and Mike Conley. Didn't work out. Were able to get Barnes and Bogut. Now, Bogut was obviously a good trade piece. But the Mavericks, that's been their status quo for this front office, is that they can pull something out of their butt when you least expect it.
And the Rondo thing was definitely least expected.
Oh, yeah.
And the Rondo trade got brought up again today, as it always will. It'll always get brought up. It'll be the, you know, I saw an article that was like from Fox Sports. It was like the worst trades in Mavericks history, and it wasn't the Rondo trade. I was like, it was Jamal Mashburn or something like that. They like didn't get anything for Jamal Mashburn.
I mean, that's fair, but the Mavericks, how was that not in the top?
Yeah, right? Like, the Mavericks were really good at that point.
What was top three?
No, it was just they sent him for, they listed one for every team.
Oh, okay.
So that was
okay.
The one for the Mavericks. But the,
I mean, the Mashburn was bad too, but I mean, you can make that argument, but I mean, you know, Rondo's the worst in recent history.
But the Mavericks were contending for a championship then, right?
Early 90s.
I mean,
I don't know if they were born.
So
I mean, remember they had the big three of Jason Kidd, Jamal Mashburn, and Jimmy Jackson. I don't know if they were championship material.
Yeah, that's still but back then, if you didn't have a big guy like that,
you know, this is how it was looking. You know how like the Warriors had Steph and Clay and Draymond?
Oh, it was
It was kind of like this team is going to be really, really good. Don't, you know, leave it alone. And then they blew it all up.
Didn't leave it alone.
Right. It wasn't broken, but they decided to break it.
So the Rondo trade got brought up again today, and the reason why is Zach Lowe tweeted, "Beware of the throw-in wing for a big trade." And the throw-in wing for the Rondo trade was who?
Dwight Powell.
No, the wing.
The wing?
The wing. Jay Crowder.
Okay. Yeah, I was okay. All right, sorry. I apologize.
People are gonna be so mad at you that you called Dwight Powell a wing.
Well, no, I
tweeted a picture of Dwight Powell shooting, and he was the last one shooting at practice today, and like four people were like, "He's shooting threes. Why is he shooting threes? Yeah, how dare he?"
What came out of your mouth and what went through my head was two totally different things.
Because
we're
in a new studio. The sound is just being received in a different way.
And my voice, I feel, just sounds really bad today. And probably last night too.
You were screaming too much about Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I was screaming about Nerlens Noel as I was coughing my lung out.
So what Zach Lowe said, beware the throw-in wing in a big trade.
I get it now.
And are we going to look back at this trade? And obviously, Nerlens Noel, Rajon Rondo are completely, they're not comparable, right? Like, obviously, they play two different positions. They have different skill sets. They obviously have different temperaments.
Right.
There was that thing with Nerlens Noel at the beginning of the season where he said, we have three centers and something's got to give. That's like the only thing that he's ever done that was really like, oh my gosh, he's, you know, disgruntled or blah, blah, blah. Like, he had a good reason to be disgruntled. Like, he wasn't getting minutes. And so, are we going to look back at this trade and see Justin Anderson with Joel Embiid and TJ McConnell? Those guys. No, not TJ McConnell. Joel Embiid.
No, I know Joel Embiid is
I just wanted to clarify that. Which, by the way, he's back in practicing now.
Are you stalking him?
No, I just saw that.
Are you secretly going to Philly to watch his practices, Nick Inkstead? Is that what you're doing? Doing it. You see, he's not denying it.
I'm not denying it. No. one of the Sixers beat writers tweeted out a video of Joel Embiid saying goodbye to Nerlens Noel, and it was heartfelt. And so I saw him practicing.
Did you tear up?
I did not tear up. No, because I was excited that Nerlens Noel is coming here because
tears of joy.
I like when the Mavs get young, exciting players because it makes my job better.
Tears of joy.
It makes my job way better.
Right. No.
Are the Mavericks going to look back at this trade and regret throwing Justin Anderson in that deal? Or Is that the reason Philly agreed to this deal? Is because they got Justin Anderson?
I mean, they might. I don't think they will, because I think Nerlens Noel will be a really good player for Dallas.
And I think
Justin Anderson, I think the verdict is still out on him. He shows potential of it, but then there are times where you and I both said that he makes a lot of mistakes. So, I mean, maybe the answer is obvious. Maybe with a trade, you have to see how things pan out. But I think that personally, I think it was a good trade for both teams. I feel bad for Justin Anderson in a way because, you know, when we had Chris Arnold here on this podcast, the Mass Fanatic
Chris Arnold, 105 through the band.
There you go. Remember, he talked about having a strong culture in just in your team and your locker room, your organization. The 76ers do not have a strong culture. They're kind of the equivalent to the NFL's Cleveland Browns, that their culture is just terrible. So if Justin Anderson doesn't pan out in Philadelphia, I'm not really surprised. I just think that Philly is not the place for players, especially young players trying to develop as well.
Yeah.
It's not the place to go to try to pan out.
That Philly is not?
Philly is not.
No, Philly is the place that you go.
Oh, Philly is the place where you get talent, but they're not. Nothing's going to come out of there. They're not going to be a good team. They're not going to be a playoff team. They're not a team that
they're better now than they were.
They are, but they're not going anywhere. I mean, they have talent. Don't get me wrong, and they've drafted some really good guys over the last few years because they've been such a bad team, and unfortunately, they've had guys who have gotten injured. But they're still not a team where anybody's going to look at it and be like, oh yeah, Philly, yeah, they're on the rise. They're not.
An underrated move that they made was sending out Ersan Ilyasova.
I saw that.
I can't remember who they got back. Who did they get back in that deal?
I saw it on Twitter as I was working, but I'm going to take a look. But no, I did see it on Twitter.
They sent out Ilyasova, and I can't remember who they got back at the top of my head. Oh, Tiago Splitter. That was yesterday.
We
got that in the middle of the pod yesterday. Dario Saric was being mentored by Ersan Ilyasova. And say what you want about that, but I think that veteran leadership on a team like Philadelphia is highly underrated because you really need it. You really need it for a guy. For
sure.
A guy
the problem is that a lot of veterans don't want to go there. That's the thing. They just don't.
That's true. And they have good reason not to want to go there.
I mean, think about it. If I'm not mistaken, Tim McMahon, I believe, posted on Twitter earlier saying how the 76ers were interested in Bogut at the beginning of the year. But what did Bogut do? Bogut was like,
why would they be interested in Bogut?
I don't know.
I guess they didn't know that Joel was going to be Joel.
Yeah, I mean, they had expressed interest in Bogut, but Bogut didn't want to go there. He said, there was no way I'm going there. I mean, and can you blame him? I mean, yeah, here's the tweet right here. Sixers expressed interest in trading for Andrew Bogut last summer, but he made it clear that he'd request a buyout if ever sent to Philadelphia. I mean, can you blame him, though? Can't blame him at all.
No, I can't blame Bogut at all, no. And where do you think Bogut ends up?
Boston.
Yeah, that seems like the most likely.
Yeah,
Houston
Boston.
Has expressed interest in him, and they cleared some space getting rid of Tyler Ennis and
KJ
McDaniels.
I don't think he fits in Houston.
He doesn't fit what Houston does, but
no,
he does give Houston is a guy off the bench that gives him a different look. Because when you're in the playoffs, you have to be able to do different things.
True, but
Warriors
I don't think...
The Warriors were so good because they can shoot the lights out, obviously, but they could throw Bogut in there and they could bash and bang. Like,
true.
They can do different things.
True, but I don't think that Houston is going to switch up their style. I've watched Mike D'Antoni too many times through the years. He's not going to change.
No, he's not going to change it for like a whole quarter.
And he's definitely not going to change it for Andrew Bogut.
No, he'll change it. They'll change it up for like 5 minutes, though. You go in and like, here, let me just throw in this for 5 minutes. I need to get a couple big boards and stop this momentum. Like, that's just stuff that you need. That we talked about the P.J. Brown move for the Celtics in 2008 when they picked up P.J. Brown. P.J. Brown didn't come in and, like, light it up for him. He just gave him a different look and some veteran leadership. A guy that had been there before. And I think that was really important for them to get P.J. Brown. And people say that you know, they got P.J. Brown and that won him the championship, which that's completely false. But it did help them. And it gave them another step in that direction.
Okay.
I'm just saying it could be good for Houston. Anyway, but another interesting stat
that
I think I saw Zach Lowe tweet out. Shout out to Zach Lowe, by the way.
Shout out.
He's really good. And one stat I saw is that the 76ers only played Embiid and Noel 7 minutes together all season.
Really?
Yeah.
Only 7 minutes.
7 minutes. And then I tweeted out in comparison, the Bogut Dirk experiment that we all saw almost immediately.
Yeesh.
that wasn't going to work.
Fail.
They played them for 72 and a half minutes.
Yeesh.
arguably the Bogut Dirk experience, like, seemed like it wasn't going to work earlier than the Joel Noel experience.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean,
you got to give it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean,
I just think their injury timelines didn't ever match up where they were both not injured at the same time.
Right.
For enough of a stretch.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel, you know, moving forward, how do you see this right now, and how do you see this in the long term for the Mavericks?
Right now, I think that it was interesting what Carlisle said in practice today, and he hasn't been given enough time to think about this. Obviously, it just happened today, but I mean, Saad Youssef of 105 or not 105.3, 103.3
ESPN,
and he writes for Mavs.com sometimes. When I saw him, he asked that would bringing in Noel, does that mean what's the chance that you'll move Dirk back to the four and play Noel at five? And he said, well, it's inappropriate to talk about that right now because I don't think that it, you know, it's not appropriate to talk about this because nothing's official yet. And so he said that, but then he followed it up by saying that that if he had to handicap it, basically if he had to just throw out a number and guess and like just kind of put a wager on it almost, if he had to do that, then it would be 50% chance that he would put Dirk back. Like, that's not even a good enough figure to say that he will definitively put Dirk back at four and start Nerlens Noel. So we could see Nerlens Noel come off the bench. I would not be surprised if Nerlens came off the bench, especially the first couple of games for sure. But I think that he could come off the bench. And then in the future, obviously, he's your starting center. I mean, as soon as Dirk retires, he's starting center forever. But then next year, I mean, we have heard rumors and you know, sources say that Dirk's going to stay for another year, which I think that's probably true. But if Dirk stays another year, who knows if he's going to play the five again or if he goes back to the four.
Right. You mentioned Dirk, and we have some audio of Dirk Nowitzki speaking to the media today about his newest teammate, Nerlens Noel.
I guess that's what they were looking for. A guy that can roll and do something different. Helps all of us, not only myself. I think that the offense is the big guy that needs to roll and be a presence at the rim with their things. And he's healthy. We only have 20-something games left. And see what Noel brings to this team. And hopefully you get adjusted quick. And we'll all try to help him. We all know Coach Kyle's playbook is pretty thick, and there's a lot of stuff happening, so hopefully we can keep simple for him at the beginning, and he's going to get accustomed to our play pretty quick, and then we can have some. With potential, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's 21, 22, he's been around a long time already, actually. He can still learn and improve and bring his youth and athleticism to his team. I think, you know.
So what he was kind of saying there, if you didn't really understand, he was saying, obviously, Nerlens Noel is long. He can play both ends of the floor. He's, you know, a young guy that can come in, you know, and play good minutes for them.
Yeah, I like that. I like what Dirk had to say. I like the fact that, you know, Dirk mentioned he's 22. He's going from a situation in Philadelphia, not a lot of veterans, not a lot of success that's happened through the years, to come to Dallas, even though Dallas has kind of been fading a little bit, but there has been success there. There are veterans there who can try to, you know, help him and guide him. And I think the most important factor that will be the growth for Nerlens Noel is the fact that his new head coach is Rick Carlisle.
Straight up.
Yeah, completely. I think that is huge for him, and I think it'll be very beneficial for him.
I totally agree. You know what I want to see? I want to see Salah Mejri and Nerlens Noel have a conversation. Just like sit down and talk. Like, oh, what are they going to talk about?
How's Tunisia?
Nerlens Noel is like a kid,
how's Philadelphia?
Kid from New Hampshire. And Salamitri is like this.
He's from Tunisia.
Yeah, he speaks five languages.
Right? You know,
just totally different people.
There was a time where I saw Salamitri at North Park Mall. Maybe I'll see him in Nerlens there. I mean, they're both really tall. They're both really tall, so I'm sure I'll be able to run into him one day.
Oh,
I'll be able to recognize him.
So there we go. We got Nerlens Noel today. That's our reaction. I mean, it's completely positive. Are there any drawbacks to this deal, do you see?
No,
The restricted free agency, does it scare you that possibly Brooklyn can come in and offer him a max contract and try to, you know, the price up?
No, it doesn't scare me one bit. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a little concern there, but
It's a little bit of a risk.
It's a little bit of a risk, but, you know, it's The verdict is still out on Nerland too. I mean, it's not like he is, you know, he's coming in here. There's a lot of potential and a lot of room for growth, but it's not like we just acquired Boogie Cousins. I mean, he's a very good player.
Well,
don't get me
wrong. That has more drawbacks, I think, than Nerlens does.
Possibly, because but from a basketball standpoint, the verdict is still out. I mean, there's a lot of potential, a lot of growth, but we have to actually see how it pans out.
Completely agree. So there's a little bit of risk, but overall, an amazing day. And I think the Mavs won the
hold
day.
Hold on. Timeout.
What?
We just agreed, this entire show.
Because it was a great move.
Yeah.
It was unequivocally a good move.
Ugh. Yes, it was a great move. I like it. And I'm glad that you and I agreed today.
Also, it just became official. Mavericks request waivers on Deron Williams, and Donnie Nelson will not be speaking to the media today. So he will probably be speaking to the Mavs.com writers when they touch down in Minnesota. But
tomorrow night.
He won't be talking to us.
Yeah, well, hey.
That's all that I care about.
Well, hey, you know what? I mean, we all know what'll be asked when he does speak to me. We know what Carlisle's going to be asked tomorrow night after they play Minnesota. By the way, is Nerlens playing tomorrow?
I can't imagine that he would be.
Yeah.
He was in Philadelphia today at practice, like I said. But
all right. So he'll probably play Saturday.
I hope he'll play Saturday.
Well, yeah. You want his home debut.
Yeah,
Thursday.
He'll be there by Thursday for
sure. Sure.
Which I can expect him to come off the bench.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see him starting.
Also, let's talk about this real quick before we end. The Deron thing. The Deron Williams getting his waivers, you know, them requesting waivers. Does that mean Yogi's a starting point guard for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean,
I guess. I mean, JJ's not going to come back for another couple weeks.
Yeah, I would assume that. I don't
and
see why he wouldn't.
And the Mavericks now have one point guard. With JJ out, they only have one point guard. So you're thinking that they also – Tim McMahon, I think, also – or not Tim McMahon. Mike Fisher also. So many reports today.
Shout out again to Mike Fisher.
Yeah, he was great last night. Shout out to Mike Fisher and all the reporters doing all the work. So he tweeted out that there's a list of Mavs 10-day contract people. And Carlisle actually even talked about that. He said that there's a list of players that we're looking at for 10-day contracts to try to bring in. Maybe Pierre Jackson gets brought back?
No.
You think they're done with the Pierre Jackson experience?
I think that experiment is not coming back.
But they have a list of them. So in the next couple of weeks, expect 10-day contract guys to be brought in, especially point guards.
Sure. By the way, real quick, where do you think Deron goes? Is it guaranteed Cleveland?
Cleveland seems to be the number one choice.
Now,
I just don't know. I don't know salary cap wise if they can squeeze him in.
I heard this from a
credible
source.
By the way, this is our eighth one more thing.
Yeah, I know.
Hashtag one more thing.
All right. I heard this from a credible source because you know how there was a big
shout out to credible sources.
Credible
today.
Sources. No, you know how there was rumors saying that Deron might return to Utah.
Oh, yeah. Mike said that on our podcast last night.
Right. Deron, apparently, these credible sources say Deron still owns a house in Salt Lake City. So could there be a potential move back to Utah?
Yeah, but a lot of guys own houses in L.A. and stuff, too. So.
Yeah, but there's not many people who own houses
in
Utah.
Yeah, that's true.
So could he go back could that be a potential, return?
Oh, man. Also, by the way, this is so random, but I wanted to just bring this up, that on the Woj Vertical show last night, not the one today.
Oh, I know what you're going to bring. I saw you put it on Twitter.
The last night one, Andrew Nicholson got traded to the Nets. From Washington, and he's from St. Bonaventure, which is where Woj went. And he was like, by the way, St. Bonaventure graduate, the only chemistry major that ever got drafted in the first round.
That is a very random fact of the day. Hashtag random facts. No,
that was the most random stat of the day. I was like, yes, that's awesome.
Okay, very random facts.
So, yeah, I think I think he'll end up going to Cleveland. I mean,
yeah, I think that's definitely the favorite. I say Utah's right behind.
Utah. And then other than that, I can't.
You know LeBron James is basically saying, sign him now.
Mark Stein just tweeted, multiple teams interested in Deron Williams tell ESPN they believe he has already decided to join Cleveland.
Well, go win a ring, young fella.
He's going to at least try. There we go. I'm Nick Inkson. Joined as always
by Tame and T, the one and the only.
This is the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. Thank you so much for listening on the Almighty Ballers Podcast Network. Again, check out our Twitter pages. They're in the description of this podcast. Also, check out, of course, audibletrial.com/almighty. Go in there. Get some books, man. Just read some books. Just
do it.
You need to decompress after all these rumors, all these sources. Decompress. Listen to a couple books this weekend.
Yeah, and stay off your phone. I know you've been on it the last few days, updating your Twitter and whatnot.
What am I at, 20% right now?
Yeah, updating your Twitter and whatnot. that's why you gotta carry your charger. But yeah, you've been on your screen. Go read a book. Time to read a book.
Go read a book.
Old fashioned.
Go get it. No, go get a book read to you by audibletrial.com.
Yeah, do that. Do that. Right? Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.